Welcome to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. We're going to be tackling a couple of different political stories this hour. It's been 5 weeks since Election Day 2016, and since then, there's been a fast-growing interest in the political process from people who've never run for office, many of them young and curious about the nuts and bolts of campaigning. We'll take a close look in just a bit. But first, some news of a more sober nature making headlines this week. Former Philadelphia Congressman Chaka Fetah was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Monday. Fetah had been found guilty of bribery, conspiracy, and fraud earlier this year. And joining us now for the latest is WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell, who's been covering the Fetah story. Hello, Aaron.
Hey.
So a 10-year prison sentence. Did you and your colleagues out there at the courthouse see this coming?
I think there was certainly an expectation that he would get jail time, some serious jail time. I don't know if people really expected 10 years. That's quite a bit. There have been several congressmen over the years that have been sentenced for political corruption, and most have received less than 10 years. I think there was one who received more. But prosecutors did ask for 17 to 22 years, and in response, Fetah's lawyers asked for less, somewhere in the 11 to 14 range. So there was some sort of expectation that he would really do some serious time for his crimes.
Yeah, he's also got to pay restitution as well.
Right. So there's more than $600,000 that he and other co-defendants have to pay, and that sort of traces back mostly to the scheme at the heart of this case, which has to do with this loan that he takes, Fetah takes, while he's running for mayor in 2007. Mm-hmm. It's sort of late in the game before the Democratic primary, and he's sort of looking to boost himself in the polls, so he takes this loan. And the issue is that he doesn't really have the money to pay it back, and so he ultimately ends up stealing public funds, taxpayer dollars, charitable donations to help repay this loan, and he gets caught.
How much? Approximately how much was he convicted of stealing?
$600,000.
Yeah. So, again, the exact charges against him were, and the conviction.
So he's charged with more than 20 counts: bribery, money laundering, bank fraud, racketeering conspiracy, which is the most serious crime, which sort of plays this idea that Fetah orchestrated all of these schemes, that he was at the heart of it, of this white-collar crime spree, as prosecutors described it.
Yeah. And he had a number of co-defendants, too, who were also found guilty, and we've had sentences handed down over the course of this week.
Correct. So there were four others that were convicted alongside Fetah. These are all folks who have long-standing relationships with the former congressman. You have a former chief of staff who's going to be sentenced this morning. She's actually in court as we speak. Mm-hmm. You have Karen Nicholas, who ran this education nonprofit that Fetah founded. You have Bob Brand, who ran this for-profit company called Solutions for Progress. You have this Herbert Viderman, who was a former Philadelphia deputy mayor for Philadelphia. All of them sort of worked with Fetah to
this illegal channeling of money.
Correct. They're sort of all considered part of this entity, this criminal entity.
Yeah. All right. So, again, Fetah's sentence is a lot less than what prosecutors wanted, but still it's pretty stiff at 10 years. Do you have a sense of where Judge Harvey Bartle III was coming from here? In court, in addressing Fetah and speaking for Fetah's former constituents, Bartle said, "You abuse the trust they placed in you time and time again. Your flagrant behavior undermines the confidence of the citizenry in all public institutions." What was his demeanor? What was Fetah's demeanor?
Yeah, Bartle has been dead serious throughout this entire all these proceedings. I think that he really wanted to send a very clear message to anyone, any politician, anyone considering this path, this corruption path, that you're going to get caught. And if you do, you're going to serve serious time. I think one of the other quotes from the day before Fetah was actually sentenced was that Bartle said, people will know about this sentence. And I think he was kind of saying that, I'm going to impose this sentence and it's going to be serious enough that hopefully it will dissuade others from attempting this or even considering doing anything similar. Fetah was pretty stoic, though, when he got his 10-year sentence. And before he was sentenced, when he was addressing Bartle, his few minutes, he briefly told the judge, I regret some of these decisions that I made. But he really stopped short of kind of apologizing for his crimes, showing true remorse. But what's interesting is that's sort of consistent with the way that he's addressed these crimes, this indictment throughout. He said, I'm innocent. These crimes are a smear. They're frivolous. So he's never really kind of done personal atonement for this. So he was pretty unemotional.
Yeah. Even after his convictions, never exactly really admitted guilt. He, as a matter of fact, in addressing the court, I've got a quote from Fatah. I've helped tens of millions of people, and that has nothing to do with the fact that I have been found on the wrong side of these questions by a jury. Well, let's talk about some of Chaka Fatah's accomplishments. He did spend 20 years as a representative for the 2nd District of Philadelphia. What are some of the highlights?
Sure. So Fatah is sort of best known for kind of being a money man, for this guy that has brought millions of dollars back to the 2nd Congressional District, which covers sort of parts of North, Northwest, West Philly, a little bit of Lower Marion Township in Montgomery County. And that money has been used for transportation projects, including kind of train station overhauls. He's been really big into neuroscience research, and sort of a big part of his legacy has to do with education. He launched this program called Gear Up, which is this national program that helps kids sort of get ready for college, starting all the way back in 7th grade, and sort of tracks them and makes sure that they get to where they want to go.
And yet it was an education nonprofit, which
correct.
Was rated for
right.
the money, the okay, to pay back
so
the
there's a lot of irony
illegal
in all
campaign
this.
Loan. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Aside from that, he's also credited with work in public housing, this shift from building high rises to kind of building lower density developments instead. So, yeah, he has a fair amount on his plate that people really continue to praise him for.
Well, you talked to some of his constituents during, I guess, the trial and the sentencing phase. What were they telling you?
Yeah, so it's interesting, on the face of it, you see the headlines, you see these crimes, the indictment, the conviction, all of it, and you assume that people would just be fully prepared to write him off. And there certainly are those people. But there are also a number of other people who say, this is just this blip in time, this hiccup. And when you kind of weigh the man against the entirety of his career, this is really a guy that we should still support. And they still do. I mean, one guy told me that he's sort of the community's knight in shining armor. There's also this piece of it that goes to kind of where Fatah came from. He sort of grew up in first South Philly and then West Philly, and he grows up, in a tough neighborhood. There's gang activity. And so there's this sense that this is this guy that came from the neighborhood, didn't grow up with a lot, and rose to the halls of Congress. And for some people, that's enough. I mean, this is...
They've forgiven him.
Right.
Essentially. And yet, for years when he'd run for re-election, he just breezed back into office. But this past year in the primary, he ran into some trouble. He was not able to defeat Dwight Evans.
Correct. Yeah. There was three challengers that emerged following the indictment. And Fatah tried to run on his record, make the case that if you bounced me out, you're going to have an issue because in Congress, seniority rules. And if you put in this freshman, whether it be Dwight Evans or anyone else, not as much is going to get done for the district. It ultimately didn't work. Dwight Evans, who's a state rep who was in Harrisburg for 35 years, very well known in the Philadelphia area, ultimately beats him by a considerable margin.
Aaron Moselle, tell us about the courtroom scene. What was it like going there every day to cover this?
It's a very, very technical case. A lot of sort of tracing money going from here to there, witness after witness. It's, parts of it were very tedious, and then parts of it were very interesting. I mean, this is a case that had, accountants and FBI agents, but you also had people like, U.S. Senator Bob Casey and Ed Rendell coming in. So there was sort of this also star factor to it as well.
Yeah, packed courtroom for the most part?
During the trial?
Yeah.
Not always.
For the sentencing?
For the sentencing, completely jam-packed. There was an overflow room. Which just sort of speaks to the years that Fattah was in public life and the number of people who still support him and want to see him.
Were you able to determine whether his family was there and friends and their reaction when the sentence was handed down?
So I wasn't in the main courtroom because of the overflow, but I was able to listen to character witnesses who got up and spoke on Fattah's behalf. There was nearly a dozen, and they sort of all spoke about his record and sort of pleaded with Bartel to take it easy on Fattah because, you know, this is a man who devoted his entire life to public service, and that should be considered when handing down the sentence.
Yeah, and there were some notables who stood up. Blondell Reynolds Brown on City Council, Curtis Jones, Senator Vincent Hughes. Anybody else that I'm missing here?
So those folks, I believe, sent letters of support.
Okay.
The folks who stood up were kind of mostly longtime friends. There was a former chief of staff. Fattah's brother-in-law stood up. Yeah. There was an interesting moment where one of the witnesses sort of called this a hiccup, this moment in time, and the prosecutors kind of jumped on them because I don't think we've mentioned that these crimes sort of occurred over a period of years, that this wasn't just this one little moment. This was sort of a 7-year period that these crimes.
All right. So Mr. Fattah turns himself in when?
He is scheduled to self-surrender on January 25th.
And is there an appeal coming?
There is most likely an appeal coming, the contents of which we don't know yet. So we will have to see on that.
Yeah. And so where will he end up? Being incarcerated. Do we know that yet?
I don't think we know that yet, no.
Yeah. Also worth noting, over the past few years, as Chaka Fattah was battling these allegations against him too, you know, his son Chaka Chip Fattah, was convicted on tax and bank fraud.
Right. So it's been a pretty tough stretch here for the Fattah family. Chip is serving 5 years in federal prison, and now his father is going to be serving most of the 10 years, is what we're told by prosecutors. Unlike in other arenas, when you get 10 years for a federal crime, you're likely to do most of the 10 years. So it is a tough time for the Fattah family.
So looking forward to the second district, Aaron, when you were talking to constituents, did you happen to find out what their feelings were perhaps about Dwight Evans and how he might shake things up, if at all, in the second district?
Yeah, it's interesting. Dwight Evans spent most of his district while he was in Harrisburg, is up in Northwest Philly in the West Oak Lane section of the city, did a lot of work out there. And so when you go to other parts of the district, the second congressional, they're not so familiar with him at this point. They sort of know his name just because he's been out there for a while. Mm-hmm. For the folks who do, there's kind of a lukewarm response. He's not – I wouldn't say he's polarizing, but he is a character that, has his detractors sort of for the way that he has handled himself politically over the years. He's sort of seen as a deal maker in a sense. There's also concern that he'll be going in as a freshman and may not have the power that certainly won't have the power that that Fattah had and wielded for years.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Aaron Mozell, thanks so much for joining us and bringing us up to speed on the Chaka Fattah story.
My pleasure.
All right. Coming up, we take a look at some new faces hoping to enter the political world in Philadelphia. That's just ahead on Radio Times. Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Shortly after the contentious presidential election of 2016 wrapped up with the election of Donald Trump, political organizations which cater to millennials began to hear from them. Lots of them, young people who'd never run for office, were asking how they could become involved. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to take a close look at the political process from the ground up. Where do you start? How do you run a campaign? What does serving as an elected official really involve? John Keating is here with us in studio. John is director of engagement at the Political Action Committee, Philadelphia 3.0. Welcome.
Thanks,
John. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here. Thanks, man.
And Jen DeVore is a committee person in South Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood. Great to have you here as well, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
So John, to you first. Tell us what you've been seeing and hearing at Philadelphia 3.0 over the last 5 weeks. I've read that emails are coming in?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a lot of interest from people who maybe followed politics but hadn't really taken the next step to get engaged or be a politically active member of their neighborhood. But after the election, I think that was kind of a wake-up call for people that, there's a lot of nervous energy around. People would really like to feel that they're making a difference. And we were getting so many communications that we were like, let's try to figure out a way to get a lot of people involved in and teach people some basic election skills so that they can make a difference where they live.
Tell us a little bit more about the nature of the correspondence.
Yeah, so people would send me an email knowing that I'm a person who I work in politics, has been paying attention to this stuff for a while, and asking to get coffee or talk about what they could be doing, who needs help, what types of organizations they could plug into, and. And so I've been taking a lot of these meetings. It's fun to hear what people are interested in doing and using politics for. But we kind of centered on this idea of the 2018 ward committee elections as a good focal point because one, there's enough time to try to plan, and two, it's the lowest level of political office that we have in the city,
that of a committee person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to just explain that a little bit, these are like party positions. There's a Democratic committee and a Republican committee, and there's about 69 wards all across the city. Democratic and Republican wards share the same boundaries. They're all divided up into thousands of divisions, about 3,000, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And and so and each one can have no more than like 1,200 voters in it. So we're not talking about like a huge number of people, but mm-hmm. we're talking about enough people to make a difference. And the committee people, who are sort of the basic unit of this whole system, are in charge of getting out the vote, basically just getting their neighbors out to vote.
Yeah. Jen, you are a committee person, and it is in the 36th ward?
36th ward. Division? Yep, that's correct, in Point Breeze.
So tell us what you do.
Yeah, so I became a committee person at the last election in 2014, and it was something that has always been on my radar, loving Philadelphia, loving politics, and just really wanting to get involved and give back in a way that was effective in this manner. So running for committee person was a no-brainer for me. And
what was that like, running for committee person?
Well, it was kind of at the start of the city council battle between Kenyatta Johnson and Ori Fibush, and both kind of candidates were running people, and there was a lot of incumbents of committee people and then new people coming in. And without really realizing, and I kind of just stepped in on my own will saying, a committee person's interesting to me. This sounds great. And then as I'm there, I'm kind of looking around and realizing, like, being really in the middle of it. But, I believe in transparency. And that's, a platform that I ran on and wanted to practice what I preach. So I went and told everybody. I told my councilman, Kenyatta Johnson. I told our state rep, Jordan Harris. I told our ward leader.
Told everybody you're running.
Yeah, everybody that I'm running. And this is what I'm all about. And at that point, I had lived in the neighborhood for a few years. I was block captain. I knew all my neighbors. So getting the signatures and then campaigning, the light campaigning that you do came fairly easy.
So you have to get signatures.
Yeah, you have to get 10 signatures, but I always tell people to get at least 30 because
to get on the ballot.
To get on the ballot, yeah. And I think that's important, one, because, again, if you're running, you want to let as many people that you can know that you're running, but also your signatures can be challenged. And that happened not to me personally, but within my ward, both parties from each side had signature challenges. So,
yeah. So what was election night like?
It was exciting. Are you talking about in 2014 or
in 2014?
Yeah. Cause both were very,
yes, we'll go to 2014. Your election as committee person.
Yeah.
For the,
it was exciting. I mean, there is, nothing like the feeling I felt walking into the voting booth and seeing my name there, on the pink sheet and voting for myself. That was great. And then it was really cool to see people that I had, conversations with leading up to the election actually come out and vote for me and say, we're here for you. It's so great to see you. So yeah, it was an awesome feeling to really be part of the beautiful community that is Point Breeze. It felt great. Yeah.
So again, John, the job of the committee person is to, you really have to know who your constituents are.
Yes.
And what you said, maybe 1,200 for a committee person?
So yeah, for many of them, it's actually a bit less. Yeah.
Probably like 500 to 800, I think, on average.
Right. So it's a lot, but it's also like you could knock all of those doors in like a weekend. It really, like, for running these elections, and I had won one of these elections in South Philly over in Bella Vista, you can really knock all of these doors and have conversations with all of these people. I keep telling folks that if you knock all the doors, like, you'll probably win. And if you knock them all twice, like, you almost certainly win. Because
not a lot of competition for these spots?
Well, depending. I mean, some places, like up in Mount Airy, I was looking at, like, the vote totals for how many votes people had won by. And in some cases, it was like 200 votes. Mm-hmm. It's a very politically engaged and active community. But in other places, like sometimes, people are winning by 25 votes, 30 votes.
I had 49, I think. So
yeah.
Tight race.
Yeah.
So it's like a knowable number of people. You'll probably, if you do it correctly, you'll know all of the people who are going to show up for you. And it's a great feeling just to be able to get out and talk to your neighbors about politics, and it's a good excuse to kind of meet people in your community.
Let me reintroduce you. John Geeting is Director of Engagement at Philadelphia 3.0. Jen DeVore, a committee person in South Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood. And we're talking about the change of heart a lot of folks have had since Election Day last month. People who perhaps never thought of jumping into politics and now are giving it a second look in perhaps an effort to make a difference. A lot of millennials. And, some organizations like Philadelphia 3.0 are recommending that you start, from scratch, from start, and try to go for a committee person's post if you live in Philadelphia. So, I'm guessing, John, that some of the information you've gotten from the flood of emails to Philadelphia 3.0 is people have a sense of, I want to do something, I want to make change, I want to get involved after this particular election. What can a job like committee person, what can you do with that? What can you achieve?
Absolutely. So there's two roles. One is you're responsible for turning out your neighbors to vote and being generally a political resource for your neighbors where you live. I think in some of the best run wards, you see these organizations bringing in candidates for office early to meet neighbors, to meet the other committee people, and giving people an opportunity to ask questions early on in primaries where it really matters in Philadelphia. And then you're also, people will send letters to their neighbors near election time recommending candidates, which is really sort of the real power of the office, this sample ballot. If you've voted, you'll probably see people passing out slips of paper with candidate names on them near the polling place. And those candidates are recommended by the wards. In some places, the elected committee people get a vote on that. Sometimes the ward leader just chooses the candidates. But that is sort of where the rubber meets the road, I think, as in terms of having an influence over how your neighborhood is voting.
Well, Jen, you're quoted as saying it's hard work being a committee person. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, to John's point, it's very important to knock on every door and talk to every person. But I think it's more than just the knocking. You have to have the right thing to say. And even more important than that, you have to have the ability to listen. And just, it's not about, who I am or what I'm doing. In reality, it's what you represent your neighborhood and your neighbors. So what are their concerns? What are their issues? And that should help kind of shape what candidates are endorsed and help people with their decision making at the polls.
What sort of hours are we talking about?
It's a couple Saturday mornings or afternoons. It's not. And I think so. It's a couple Saturdays, you know, knocking on doors, talking to people, getting out the vote. But then also, I think to be a good committee person, you really want to have a consistent presence in your neighborhood. So, you know, you go to community meetings, you go to the fish fries, you go to the fun stuff too. My block hosts a great block party every year to kind of just, you know, get that working relationship going with you, with your constituents.
So you're a millennial. How do you feel you are affecting the political process as a committee person?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, definitely bringing new energy to it and new perspective. I mean, I kind of, you know, depending on the definition, I tend to embrace the term New Philadelphian and really representing, especially in the neighborhood where I live in Point Breeze. I mean, there are a number of millennials moving into that neighborhood who also have, a voice and a political opinion and, you know, trying to bridge that with historical long-term residents and just bringing that fresh perspective.
Yeah. So within the Democratic Party in Philadelphia, is there kind of an old guard and a new guard? I don't know if you got that information available, John.
Yeah. Well, with, you know, the 3,000 seats, it's kind of tough to know exactly, what is happening. But I think, you know, you see a lot of different personalities within the party. Some leftover ways that these organizations operate from a time when there was more of a patronage system in City Hall. The ward leader once upon a time would be able to like get people's family members' jobs and things like that. That's less true today. I think they're people generally want to do a good job of being a political resource, but you know, not everybody is the best at this. And I think, you know, for those of us who are looking at Philadelphia's voter turnout rates, this is a problem. You know, individual people do a good job, but in aggregate, I would say that the system is failing to turn out Philadelphia voters at a rate that is giving the city adequate representation or, you know, high enough quality of representation in Harrisburg and in Washington.
All right, let's go there, because traditionally young Philadelphians have been somewhat apathetic about politics. Referencing a Billy Penn article in the 2015 mayoral primary, which included all the city council seats, only 12% of registered millennials turned out to vote.
Yeah, it's a very sad statistic.
Yeah, what do you hear from your peers, Jen?
That's what I heard from my peers prior to November 8th and then post. So, John and I were talking about this earlier. You know, I tend to, you know, I have my network of young involved Philadelphians, if you will. But looking outside of that, seeing that classic, it doesn't affect me, or maybe people are, you know, not sure that they're going to stay in Philadelphia. You know, they're here for a job, or, you know, they're here while in school, but trying to figure out, you know, what their next move is. And, you know, getting invested politically it takes a lot of work. You have to really know who the players are, understand the different policies and how it affects you. However, since the election, similar to John, I mean, we've just seen an incredible amount of energy about young people wanting to run. I've been invited to different speaking engagements to talk on the topic almost every week since the election. It's been kind of wild.
Really?
And it's interesting because the first thing that I ask is, who here understands the ward system? And not a lot of hands go up. So, I mean, it's great to have all this energy, but we want to make sure that it's the right people participating in it. You have to love politics to be in politics. Otherwise, it's easy to get disengaged and kind of run out of steam. So,
Politics.
I do. I'm a political junkie.
Tell.
Yeah, but it is interesting to see where this new energy will lead to.
Yeah, well, worth noting, another group, the nonprofit Young Involved Philadelphia, held its annual State of Young Philly conference recently, and not only did the conference see an extra 700 attendees, but again, from Billy Penn, 300 packed a session on how to run for office. So it seems as if the momentum is shifting. Let me give the number out again, 888-477-9499. And we've got time to get to a call before the break. Jordan in Pennsylvania, welcome to Radio Times.
Hi there. Can you guys hear me?
Pardon me?
You guys can hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can. Welcome.
Okay, so I'm really glad you're having this show. After the election, my immediate reaction after despair was basically, what am I going to do about this? So I literally just went to my local township office and gave them my a volunteer form with some stuff on it, so I'm really excited about that. But my question is essentially, we're living in this very polarized environment, and I consider myself a moderate. I don't identify with Democrats. I don't identify with Republicans. I try to be in the middle. But there doesn't seem to be a good place for us. There's no party for moderates. So I'm just wondering what your guests believe someone like me should do to kind of navigate that landscape.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jordan. Thanks for the call. So moderate or independent, where do they fit in if they want to get involved at the grassroots level? John, any thoughts?
Well, I work for a nonpartisan organization, so I'm not going to say which party, I think Jordan should join. But I would say that in general, while there's sort of been this move away from parties, more people registering as independent, I think what Jen and I are suggesting people do is actually to get more involved with the parties if you don't like what you're seeing, because you can have an opportunity through primaries. And, it's slow. It's not politics. It's not instant gratification most of the time. This is a process that happens over a range of election cycles, but you can work to bring the party or at least your local candidates more in your direction by volunteering for them, by sending them questionnaires, by taking a number of actions to try to bring them around to your views on issues.
So if you're going to run for, say, committee person in Philadelphia, it's either Democrat or Republican?
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks for the call to Radio Times, Jordan. We are talking about the increasing the tendency of political engagement post election 2016. A lot of new young faces who are jumping into politics. And John Geeting is with us. He's director of engagement at Philadelphia 3.0. Jen DeVore as well, a committee person in South Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood. Jen is a Democrat. We'll be joined by Republican Matt Wolf after the break. So keep it here. You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Almost goes without saying that the November 8th election was a hugely emotional event for so many Americans, some of whom say they now want to tackle a run for public office. So what does this entail? Where to begin? We've been talking about it for the past 20 minutes here on Radio Times. And again, the number is 888-477-9499 if you've got questions or comments, or you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. In studio with us, John Geeting, Director of Engagement at Philadelphia 3.0, Jen DeVore, a Democratic committee person in South Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood. And we're also going to welcome Matt Wolf to the conversation. Matt is a Republican and has served as a ward leader in West Philadelphia for decades. He ran an unsuccessful campaign for city council at large back in 2014 and was part of an insurgency, if you will, in trying to topple the city's GOP establishment a few years back. Matt, so glad you could join us for Radio Times.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So it's not easy to be a Republican in this town. I don't have to tell you that. Outnumbered 8-1 in voter registration. It's got to be tough to find a seat at the table in Philadelphia politics. How do you begin to try to turn this around, Matt?
Well, we have, I take a little bit of issue with the, trying to overthrow the old leadership of the party. We tried to reform it, and I think we did that successfully, and we came out of it united.
Insurgency might have been a strong word. I'm sorry about that.
No, it wasn't an insurgency. But but like I say, we weren't trying to throw anybody out. We were trying to bring new leadership in. And our last two party chairmen, State Representative John Taylor and Joe DeFelice, have changed a lot of things. We're taking stands on issues in a more public way than we have before. We're engaged on social media. I mean, you know, Joe DeFelice was on national TV after an assistant city solicitor was filmed walking down the street in his blue blazer and Ascot, sipping wine and filming his buddy, graffitiing anti-Trump graffiti on a building owned by a Republican donor. And we've jumped on that. But more substantively, we're talking about issues. And when you say it's tough to be a Republican, it's actually in many respects easy when you talk about issues, because it's, 60 years of rule, one-party Democratic rule that's kind of gotten us in the mess that we're in to some degree.
Well, really, what the focus this hour is not necessarily on one party versus the other, but just to kind of get both to the table and talking about whether you are seeing new and younger faces at the table who want to become interested in jumping into a political career. And are you seeing that, in your ward as ward leader in West Philadelphia? Are you hearing from young people? Are you hearing from young Republicans in the city, Matt?
Yes, we are. The presidential election is always, particularly in my ward in University City, an election that attracts a lot of new people, and we saw that this time, and we engaged them in both election board workers and as committeemen. There was actually a bit more growth in some of the areas. Donald Trump carried three wards in the city, in Northeast Philly and South Philly, and came very close in some others, and there were a lot of people that came along with that. To be honest about it, our focus was not really the presidential race, because it was our feeling that we weren't going to significantly impact that. I mean, there really weren't many people that were going to come out and vote because the local committeemen asked them to. They were going to vote or not vote anyway. And there was nobody that was going to change who they were going to vote for president because the local committeeman knocked on their door and said, hey, maybe you're voting for Hillary. I'd really like to see you vote for Trump. That just wasn't happening. So we were really focused on Pat Toomey more than anything else, because that was the one race that we knew was going to be close that we thought we could impact, and I'm sure that we did. You have to understand what our job is on the grassroots level. And that's to shift the margins. I mean, there are a certain number of voters that are going to vote Republican if I go to the shore on Labor Day and don't come back to after the election. And there are a certain number of voters that are going to vote Democratic, even if I'm standing passing out $100 bills at the polling place. Generating some Republicans that might not vote if we didn't give them a push or some help, by focusing on down ballot tickets. I mean, you're not going to change people's minds at the top of the ticket, but you can. We did change people's minds who were coming to vote for president and hadn't considered the Senate race, as important as it was.
So, Matt, let's get to how a younger perspective, some of these new faces, might reshape politics, and in your case, for the city GOP.
Well, both parties are having trouble filling committee positions, and that's certainly a place to start. We're actually considering some changes to, move from elections every 4 years to go back to elections every 2 years. Whether that's going to happen is, it's a bylaw change and it's controversial. We're also looking at trying to expand the duties of committeemen. I mean, right now, really, the committeeman's only official vote is to elect the ward leaders.
How would you like to see that expanded?
Well, in most counties in Pennsylvania, it is the local committeemen that make party endorsements. In most counties in Pennsylvania, it is the local committeemen that elect the citywide leadership. Here in Philadelphia, the ward leaders do both of those things. Yeah. And I think that by empowering committeemen in that regard, we can make some advances.
Okay, let me get Jen DeVore back into the conversation. What do you think of what Matt Wolf is suggesting?
I think it's interesting to consider the 2 year elections. I think that definitely brings a lot of opportunity, because even now, talking about to all these newly engaged people about the 2018 election, even 2 years seems like a long time to kind of sustain that interest. So, I think sounds great. It's really about creating, I think, a talent pipeline. I work in economic development here in Philadelphia, and we talk about this a lot with businesses and leadership succession and how do you train new people to come on and, keep the momentum going, but also bring their new take to things. So it'd be interesting to see what a similar talent pipeline or talent development programming going into the party. I mean, that could be really fantastic.
John Gieding.
I was going to just say, though, that the committeemen have always been, to some degree, the committeemen and the ward leaders have been the farm team for when offices come up like state representative and district council and things like that. Just like, if a state senate seat comes up, the most likely candidates are going to be the local state reps. And it's different, but to some degree, the committeemen do function as the farm team for running for office, which is the public face of the party and absolutely critical.
Is that how you see it, John Keating?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we decided to do was to host a workshop for people who are interested in doing this, because I think that there's a hunger out there to learn some basic election skills for this office or for any future offices that people might want to go for. And we sold that. That was for 100 seats at that workshop. We sold that out. We opened another one. We sold that out as well. So we're going to be training over 200 people to do this. Mm-hmm. And we have another probably about 200 who are sort of in the orbit of this and would like to get that training as well. So I think, to Jen's point, 2 years, just this being 2 years away is kind of a long time to think about sustaining the momentum. And if the elections themselves were every 2 years, that would be great for, I think, increasing participation in running for this.
Yeah, okay. I just want to clarify, too. I know we're talking a lot about new talent and bringing new people in, but I can only speak for the 36th ward. We have some really great, quote unquote, you can't see me.
Other generations.
Yeah. historical long-term residents that are committee people that are doing a great job too. So I think it's more about less of this, takeover and more about balance.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, John, are you seeing in the correspondence the interest that you're seeing? And when Let's Get Started, want to jump into politics, are you seeing a range of ages?
Yeah. We haven't gotten a demographic breakdown for the all the people who signed up for these things. So I think we'll get a better sense of that when we meet some of these folks in person in January. I have noticed a wide range of ages. I mean, there's a lot of millennials. I think some of it's just a function of, who do I know? Who does Jen know? Mm-hmm. To begin with. But I was happy to see, people in representing over half of the wards in the city signing up for this forum. So I think we're we're obviously it's a lot of greater center city, university city, where millennials have been moving to. But we're also, I think, seeing an opportunity to reach out beyond the people that we already know and start kind of building some capacity in places that may not have an active ward committee.
And so do you see that happening over the next few months or years?
Over the next few years, I think. It's a big job.
Yes, it is. All right.
Let me also note briefly that the training is absolutely critical because, what you're going to find is, the refrain I hear from both people in both parties is I called my ward leader and they never got back to me. And that happens all the time. But, you can do everything on the grassroots level that you can as a committeeman, other than vote for ward leader right now, without being the committeeman. You can go door to door and meet your neighbors and ask them to vote for candidates that you support. You can get information about your candidates and spread that around. You can get involved in your local community association. There are a lot of things that you can do, and basically these are the people who are going to get elected committeemen when that position actually comes up for election. But whether you're elected or not doesn't mean that you can't do the work.
And I think, Jen DeVore, you do in your writing, you reference that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're starting to talk to your neighbors when day one that petition's open, you're too late. I think you really need to start ahead of time and come at it with a really authentic, genuine approach that You're invested in your community. You care about what your neighbors say, and you have the ability to represent them in this way. And that's really, you know, what I'm about and what I want to share with others is, you know, to just do this, to Matt's point, do this anyway. And if you can become a committee person at the end of the day because of it, that's, you know, that's great.
All right, let's get a telephone call in. Ethan, I'm sorry, is in Kennett Square, calling from Kennett Square. Welcome.
Thank you so much. My name is Ethan Kramer. I'm a borough council member in Kennett Square, and I really like hearing about getting involved at the ward level and the local level. I've been on borough council for a year and have found it just incredibly rewarding, and I think don't look at the local level politics as the place where everything happens, but I do think that's true and probably is truer in the country now than maybe in the past. So I think that it's great to be emphasizing that. It is being on the borough council is a tremendous amount of work because you do have to know all the pieces of everything. You
are, when you say that, Ethan, what sorts of hours are you talking about?
It's pretty hard to know. I probably put in 10 to 20 hours a week or maybe more, have several meetings, and then there are nighttime events. You have to go to the fire banquet and to see the other boards. You know, I go to the Historical and Architectural Review Board meeting just to sit in and see what's going on. So you can put as much time as you have into it, but it is a lot of time, and it's also, as people have referenced, it is a learning curve. You have to know how to be in contact with your community, but you also have to then find out how politics works and also how a borough functions. So,
well, Ethan, we got about 15 seconds. I'm sorry for jumping in on you. 15 seconds. When you say it's rewarding in about 15 seconds or less, what do you mean?
Yeah. So the thing that I'm proudest of is having supported the voice of a Latino group, a group of young people who are pushing for being more included in the conversation in Kennett Square. It's been a voice that hasn't been heard as much as it could have been. And these young people have just put on to our agenda an ordinance that will establish a human relations committee and will make an anti-discrimination policy at a local level happen. And so that's an incredibly good feeling to be part of something that I think is that good, and to be in the place where that voice can be supported. So when you do something like that, you do feel like all the hours and the time getting elected and all of that is really worth it.
Well, thank you so much for your call to Radio Times. We appreciate it, Ethan. So, I mean, you're at perhaps the bottom in quotation marks, but you can really affect change. That's what I'm hearing from Ethan. John?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go back to a point that Matt brought up, the Neighborhood Civic Associations is another great place for people to get involved, especially, you know, we've been trying to think, as I said, about how we can get people to continue to be engaged over the next 2 years before 2018 when these ward elections happen in the spring. And one of the things that we've been thinking about is encouraging people to get involved in their neighborhood civic associations, which, you know, they tend to have annual elections, but it's not on the ballot. And you can also get to work like right away. They always have committees that you could join or start participating in some way. There's no sort of waiting period for taking civic action if you get involved with those groups. And they're not really political. They'll do things like some of them will do things like voter registration drives or even candidate nights, but they're not about getting out the vote for specific candidates, so they're not political in that way. But it's a great place for people to start learning about their neighborhoods.
All right, so lots of ways to get involved.
Yeah.
John Geeting, thanks so much for joining us for Radio Times. John is Director of Engagement at Philadelphia 3.0. Jen DeVore as well, our thanks to you.
Thank you.
Jen is a Democratic committee person in South Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood. And Matt Wolf, thanks so much for joining us. All right, Matt he has served as a Republican ward leader in West Philadelphia since 1979. And as always, we invite you to visit our Facebook page and podcasts at whyy.org/radiotimes. Our engineer today has been Kevin Griffin. Our producers are Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, Elizabeth Fiedler, and Trinae Noree. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Thanks so much for joining us for Radio Times.